on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome along to the Orient Hour. A lot to get through tonight, and we really have. So let's do no more than pass over to our quizmaster, Trevor Singfield, for our first competitor in our finals of the quiz, Mr. James Stripe.
Hi.
Good evening, Jamie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Andy. Nice to see you again. Nice to see you, Trevor.
Yeah, nice to see you, Jamie. Okay, we're ready to... get started on the final. So good luck to everybody who's calling in tonight, and we've got a crack on. So Jamie, please choose a list between 1 and 5, please.
Number 4, please.
He's got the number 4. Right. Sorry if you hear some bonking, there's technical issues. So okay, I think Jamie's got a set of headphones now. We all good?
Yeah, good to go.
Good stuff. Okay, here we go then. Number one, which team knocked us out of the FA Cup last season?
Newport County.
Yeah, 2-1. From which club did we sign Matt Lockwood from in August 1998 on a free transfer?
Bristol Rovers.
Great start from Jamie. In the famous do-or-die game for Burnley at Turf Moor, where the O's had a slim chance of the playoffs and Burnley needed to win to stay in the league, who scored the O's consolation goal?
Alan Comfort.
Good stuff. Who took over as manager when Ian Hendon was relieved of his duties as head coach or manager?
Nolan.
It was Hessenthaler.
Ooh.
For the final, we've got a two-part question. We get half a point in each. So, in which month and in which year was Justin Edinburgh appointed Leighton Orient manager?
November 2017.
Yes, well done. 27th of November, to be precise. Another two-part question. How many goals did Peter Kitchen score in the famous FA Cup run of 78, and who was the only other player to score during the run?
Joe Mayo got one, and I think he got 7.
Absolutely right. Who did Orient play in the quarter-final of the FA Trophy on their way to the final in 2019?
Brackley Town.
Yeah, correct. Which player came on as substitute for the O's in the 90th minute of the famous 3-2 victory against Chelsea in the FA Cup?
Oh, crikey. Pass.
Terry Brisley. Okay, name the goalkeeper who made 110 appearances for the O's between 1998 and 2003.
Scott Barrett.
Correct. And the last one for you, Jamie. Name the forward who played for the O's between 1966 and 67, scoring 18 goals for us in his short stay.
Roy Messi?
No, it's Cliff Holton. But, Jamie, you've got 7 out of 10. Same as your first thing. He's set the bar high for everybody.
He certainly has. That's a good effort, Jamie. Well done. And who's the next contestant who's got to ring in?
I think we've got Martin White. Maybe.
So Martin can ring in as soon as he hears this. He can ring in and we can get him on. As I say, we've got a lot to get through tonight. So we've got 5 competitors in all, which Jamie Stripe was the first one, Martin White, and I think Martin may well be on the line now. Is that you, Martin?
It is, yep. How you doing?
I'm very well, sir. I'm going to pass you straight over to Trevor Singfield.
Yeah, good evening, Martin, and... I don't know if you just heard, Jamie's just scored 7. So he's set the bar very high. So you've got a choice of 1, 2, 3, and 5. But you scored 7 in your competition last week. So
I did, no pressure then. Let's go number 2.
Number 2 for you. Okay. So you ready?
Yep.
Our last draw of the 2020-21 season was 2-2 against which club on 13th of April?
Mansfield?
No, it was Harrogate Town. From which club did Orient sign John Sitton from in 1985 on a free transfer, which wasn't quite a fiver?
Gillingham.
Correct. We avoided a relegation to the fourth division on the last day of the 1982-83 season with a 4-1 victory over which team?
Sheffield United.
Is correct again. Who managed Orient between the 15th of October 2001 and the 27th of September 2003?
Paul Brush.
Correct again. You've got a two-part question. You get half a point for each. There's a couple of these. So number five. Our last game of the 1990s on December 1999, I think that's probably 30, something, saw us win 5-1 at which club, and who scored a hat-trick for the O's that day? So our last game.
Was at that game. Chester City.
Yes, it's correct. Who got a hat-trick?
Carl Griffiths.
That's right. Well done. Another two-part question. We last played West Ham in January 1987 in the FA Cup. We lost 4-1 in a replay after a 1-1 draw at Brisbane Road. Who were the Orient goal scorers over the two ties?
Steve Carsell.
Is one.
God, this is going to be a guess. I don't know. Andy Sussex.
No, it was Sean Brooks. I think it was a free kick, if I remember rightly. Okay. Who did Leighton Orient play in the first round of the FA Trophy the year they reached the final?
No, I have to pass on that.
That was Beaconsfield Town. We won 4-0.
Right.
Barry Fairbrother was transferred to which club in 1975?
I haven't got a clue. Millwall.
Yeah, well done. That's not a bad clue in the end, was it? If it was a guess, well done. Okay, so here we go. So name the French player who scored 11 goals for the O's in the 1998-99 season.
Amara Simba.
Is correct again. Okay, your last one. Which player scored 9 goals for the O's in 30 appearances during the 1995-96 season?
Kevin Nugent?
No, it wasn't. It was Alex Inglethorpe. Oh. And that means you've scored 6.5 out of 10. That would have...
You should see the look on Jamie Stripe's face. The relief is literally dripping buckets of water off his head here. Yes, it means so much to Jamie Stripe. It really does. No, well done, Martin, and that's a really good effort. I had a go. I don't know what round it was. I did, but I had a go before we went on air, and I got 5. Pretty miserable. So you did 6.5 there, and Jamie's just in the front by 0.5. So you might still get the runners-up spot. We don't know what that is yet, but thanks for taking part, Martin, and it's been fun having you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Take care.
Cheers,
guys.
Mate. And the next contestant can ring through as soon as they're ready. So that was that. That was Martin. He did really well. And that was, what did he fail? And what was the half point one he got there?
His half point one, he missed out on Sean Brooks.
Ah, that was difficult. That was difficult. So who's calling the Orient Hour now?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me? It's Les.
Hello, Les. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, right. You're on the firing range here, and we're the firing squad. So I'm going to pass you over to Trevor, our quizmaster.
Thanks for those words of comfort.
Yeah. Good evening, Les, and welcome back. And we're going to go firing straight in. So you've got a choice of list 1, 3, or 5.
I'll go number one.
Okay, number one for you, Les. Right, we lost our last 4 games in the league last season. Who had we previously defeated 2-0 at Brisbane Road on the 17th of April for our last victory in the 2020-21 season?
Oh, yeah, that was Barrow.
Is correct. Peter Shilton was transferred to the O's from which club?
Oh, gosh. Right. Well, I'm not sure at all. I'll have a stab at Brighton.
It was West Ham.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Okay. I didn't know that, to be honest, when I made the questions up. Well, Martin may have done. Okay. Our last game to date in the second tier of English football on the 18th of May 1982, resulting in a 3-0 win. Who did we beat that day?
1982.
Yeah. We were already relegated, so.
I'll take a guess at Birmingham.
It was Leicester City. 3-0. Who managed Orient between July 1991 and April 1994?
I will say, because that was just after the playoff season, I will say Frank Clark.
That was Peter Eustace.
Oh, God, the wrong half. Okay.
Okay, two-part question here. How many games did Peter Shilton play in total for the O's, that is the League and Cup together, and how many clean sheets did he keep during that short period?
Well, he didn't play many, that's for sure.
No, most definitely didn't.
I would say it's single figures. I would say four.
And how many clean sheets?
I would say two.
Well, he actually played 10 games and kept three clean sheets, including his 1,000th game against Brighton. So,
yeah.
Another two-parter. I'm confident you'll be good with this one. Who scored Orient's goals in the FA Cup win at Fulham in 2006?
Oh, yeah, I was there. Joe Keith scored one. And I think from memory, the other one was Craig Easton.
That's correct. Number seven. Who were Leighton Orient's first ever opponents in the FA Trophy? Back to the non-league day.
Right. Was it Haringey?
It was Haringey Borough.
Oh, thank God for that.
Which team beat the Orient 2-0 at Brisbane Road on the opening game of the 1974-75 season?
On the opening game.
Yeah, very famous game, this one.
Right, I'm going to have a guess because I don't know that, to be honest. I'm going to say Middlesbrough.
It was Manchester United.
Oh,
they caused absolute chaos coming down the night before, didn't they?
Goodness me, yeah.
Okay, that would have been a good memory, that game. Right, number nine. Which O's player was awarded a testimonial against West Ham after 10 seasons with the club on the 6th of August 1993?
I'll say Steve Cartzell.
It was Kevin Howes.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Yeah, it was one of the two. Name the goalkeeper who played in goal for the last two matches of the 1980-81 season, replacing Mervyn Day.
80-81. I think it's a bit early, Jim, but I'm going to say John Jackson.
It was Sean Rafter. No, it was a tough one. Les, you got three in the final, I'm afraid. But
okay.
You had a few tough ones there, but thanks for taking part in, Dave.
Well done, Les. Well done for getting to the final, mate, as I say.
As long as I didn't score zero, I'm quite happy, to be honest with you.
No, you did well, and they weren't the easiest questions. Once again, Ming the Merciless has been at it again with the questions this week. I think a lot of it is luck with the draw here. If you pull out the wrong question, some of the questions on the sheets are a bit better than the others. But that's the way it goes. But once again, thanks, Les, and I'm sure we'll catch up some point during the season. You take care of yourself.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Sada, Les. Bye now. Right, that means who's due up next?
Julian's
due
up next.
So Mr. Lillington can ring in as soon as he wants to, and he'll be speaking to your good self and see if he can better Jamie's seven. I mean, Jamie almost got the cigar out there when Les got the third one wrong.
It's never out to the fat lady sings, mate. You never know. But there's some tough ones on there. Sean Rafter one.
That Sean Rafter one. I mean, God. Honestly, you know what? I actually haven't heard of him.
I think he played in the FA Cup in 1980. He had a bit of a nightmare for us. Mervyn Day didn't play in that game for some reason, and I think we lost 3-2. But I think he only played about three times for us.
All right. Right now then, hopefully, Mr. Lillington is ringing in. Good evening, Julian.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, indeed, yes, and other things as well. And bonjour, buongiorno, etc. Now then, I'm going to pass you over to Trev, and he's got 10 questions ready for you, but you've got to make a choice which number set of questions you want.
Good evening, Julian. How are you?
Still breathing.
Well, that's good to hear, mate. Right, you've got a choice of three
or five in the final?
Number three, please.
Number three, okay.
My birthday.
Your birthday?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to get lucky here. Okay, you've got seven to beat, which is Jamie's, and he's done very well. Right. Here we go. You ready?
Crack on.
Which club did we play on Boxing Day 2020?
2020?
Not long ago.
Oh, would it be a home game?
No. No, you would have...
Boxing Day 2020... Cambridge.
Yeah, hopefully you weren't Googling. Right. Kevin Dickinson was signed by Frank Clark on a free transfer from which club in July 1985?
Oh, Charlton Athletic?
Yes. In our relegation season of 1984-5, which team did we draw 0-0 at Brisbane Road in the last game of the season to seal our fate?
Jurif missed a sitter, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Bournemouth.
Yep. How many whole years did Martin Ling manage Orient?
Five.
Correct. Jamie's getting a sweat on him.
We've got to beat the Stripes, though. I've got to beat them. All that matters. I don't care who beats me. I've got to beat Jamie.
Okay. Well, you've got a two-part question coming up here now. So you get half a point for each. In 1989, who did we beat 4-1 to deny them automatic promotion on the last day of the season at Brisbane Road, and who notched a hat-trick that afternoon for the O's?
Scunthorpe United. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's either Cooper or Jurif, I reckon.
Well, you got
I'm
one.
Going with Cooper.
Yep, you've got a full point there. Okay.
Get in there. Come on.
Two-part question again. Who scored Orient's goals in the giant killing of West Bromwich Albion in the FA Cup back in 1985?
Richard Cadet.
Yeah, got one. He got the winner.
Right.
And he was all over the back pages of the papers.
Barry Silkman.
Yes.
Get in there. Come on. The Stripes is going down.
We could get the perfect 10 here, I reckon. We won't hear the end of it. We'll have to talk about your penalty flying over the bar at the North Stand. Okay. How many goals did Leighton Orient and Gateshead share during their fourth round FA Trophy ties in February and March
2018? The home game was 3-3.
I think
we lost the away game 2-1. So that's 6-9.
Incorrect. It was 11. It was 3-2.
Oh.
You put yourself under pressure. Laurie Cunningham won the FA Cup. Who was he playing for?
Wimbledon.
Correct. Orient's record home defeat in the League Cup is 5-1 against which team in September 1998?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Of course. Orient's record home defeat in the League Cup is 5-1. And against which team in September 1998?
September 98.
Yeah, I think he's Googling again.
No.
We're on a schedule tonight, so can we have an answer, please, Julian?
Swansea.
No, it was Nottingham Forest.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, your final question.
It's all down to this one, isn't it?
Yeah, you've been keeping count. Well done, Julian. Same, you couldn't count, they've got all to Gates, then you'd have been in home and dry. Right, name the non-league Welsh side Orient played in the first round of the FA Cup in 1996, winning 2-1 at Brisbane Road.
This poster could be mine.
Could be. If you can
name
it.
Murphy Tidfield.
And he's correct, so you're going to...
Get in there, back of the net.
8 out of 10.
Well done, Julian. That's Jamie has just thrown himself backwards in a hissy fit. I wish it was on video. It was a hissy fit there. And well done. You've got 8. We've got one more competitor to come on. That will be Ian Richardson. And I'll tell you what to do. If you're listening in, as soon as I put down to Ian, we'll bring you straight back on if you ring straight back in, all right? If you win.
Okay.
If you win. All right, and if Ian's won, then don't bother phoning. We won't want to talk to you.
Mr. Richardson can beat me. I've beaten Jamie. That's all that matters.
I know. Well, in fact, I'll tell you what. I won't get you to ring back in because we are tight for time. What I'll do is you sent me some instructions if you win, and are you standing by them? I won't say what they are in case you don't win, but are you standing
yes,
by those? 100%. Okay, right. I'll tell people if you win. Okay. Thanks a lot, okay. Julian. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Right, that's got rid of Julian. Right, now we're just going to wait for Ian Richardson to see if he can upset the apple cart and get 9 or even 8. That would be funny, wouldn't it?
I did tell you, Andy, that list 3 was the one, didn't I?
You did. I had a go, and I had a go just beforehand, and I got 5 on that one. Not very good, was it? Ian's phoning in, I guess, from the New Forest, where he's on tour with the cricket team, the Orient cricket team. Good evening, Ian.
Hello, Andy. How you doing, mate?
All right, and how did you get on today? Did you actually win a match?
Yeah, we won today.
My goodness me. Rain stopped play, didn't it? And you lost the other one, didn't it?
Oh, you've been following
I've been... Of course I do. I like my cricket. Well, you know, and I even enjoy your attempts at playing it. No, it was good. It was good. That's all right. Listen, I'm going to pass you over because we are tight for time to Trevor.
Yeah, right. good evening, Ian. And you've been left with list 5. And
can I have Julian's ones again? And I won.
It was a bit deja vu because I've read them out to Andy earlier. Yeah, so yeah, you know the bar now is 8 to win. So let's get straight into it. Okay, who was the O's third top scorer last season with 5 goals?
That would be Kemp.
Correct. From which club did the O's sign Sean Brooks from in November 1983?
Either Bournemouth or Crystal Palace. And I'm going to say Crystal Palace.
You've done well there, yeah. Who scored the goal at Cardiff City on the last day of the 1977-78 season to secure the O's Division 2 status?
That was the wonderful Peter Kitchen.
Yeah. How many whole years did Frank Clark manage the Orient?
Whole years?
Yeah.
Right. So Ken Knighton was the year we went down. I'm trying to think, that'd be 82, 83. So it's from, 81, 82. So from 82, 83 to 1991. So... Is that 8 years?
Is that your answer?
Yes.
It was 9.
Okay.
82 to 91, he was appointed late May. Okay, you've got a two-part question. And you get half of each. Orient have recorded 4 8-0 victories in their history. One was in the 50s, 2 in the 80s versus Rochdale and Colchester, and the final one was versus Doncaster in the 90s. Who were the opponents in the 50s, and which game didn't involve an Orient player scoring a hat-trick?
I don't know the 50s one, so I'll guess.
Okay.
I'll guess someone like.
One game didn't have a hat-trick, and then just.
I'll guess Gillingham for the 50s, which ain't that okay. Wrong. And the game where it didn't involve a hat-trick would be, the Rochdale game.
Yeah, you got half there. They played Crystal Palace and won 8-0.
Crystal Palace, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You got another two-play question now involving hat-tricks. Which two Orient players got hat-tricks versus Droylsden in an epic FA Cup replay back in 2010?
So Scott McLeish and Jonathan Tahui.
Yeah, that's a record amount of goals in the second half. That Orient played Bognor Regis in the second round of the FA Trophy in January 2018. Orient won 2-1, but who got the winner in extra time?
Was that a game? Cawley Bond scored the first one.
That's right.
Josh Caroma.
Well done. Yeah. Peter Kitchen scored a hat-trick against which club on the 27th of March 1978?
I need this as well, don't I?
It's in your era, I suppose. I think you
yeah.
Good chance you would have been there.
Yeah.
27th of March. I don't think I know.
Just throw us a club, you never know.
Yeah. I need Julian's Google now, don't I, really? Yeah.
Give us a team.
I don't know. I'll say Preston.
It was Sheffield United. Which team did we defeat 3-2 after being 2-0 down in the FA Cup second round replay in the 2000 and 2001 season?
3-2 after being 2-0 down?
Hmm.
2001.
Yeah, it was...
crashed and burned, yeah.
It was a non-league team. Non-league team.
I don't know.
It was Northwich...
Northwich Victoria.
Okay, we give you that. Okay, your final one, and he probably was at this one because I was definitely there. Against which team was the O's lowest ever league attendance against?
Most ever league attendance?
Hmm.
West Ham. Or was that the FA Cup?
No, lowest, not highest.
Lowest. Preston?
No, it was Halifax Town. I think it was Tuesday night. 1,443 there. So
yeah, okay. 1,600 against Preston.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.5. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was a good
effort. Still a good effort, mate. That's still a good effort in the final. Thanks. You finished third, didn't he?
Yeah.
Third in the final. So third overall. Wow. Well done, mate. That. And go back and have a nice drink with the lads. All the best to Liam and the rest of the boys. And we'll speak to you soon.
I just want to say really quickly, thanks for everything that you and all the other guys do, especially over the last 18 months or so. It's been fantastic whilst we haven't been able to go to games and stuff like that. And I know you do it all for nothing, and you're all great guys. Well,
thank you. And your cheque has been sent. Have you not got it yet?
Can I have another 2 pence?
Okay. See you later. Take care, mate. Thanks for that. Bye-bye. That was nice of him, mate. He's a good lad, Ian. And they're having their tour down there in the New Forest, and they've actually won a game. Now then, we've got a lot to get through. So last week, in fact, Dulcet Dave Victor had a chat with an Orient legend, the one and only Ricky Heppelet.
Well, I'm delighted to say that Ricky Heppelet joins us. Ricky, I have to confess that I was very excited as a much younger person when you signed for the O's all those years ago for what was a big fee in those days, over £40,000, wasn't it, to take you to Brisbane Road? And it was just the Orient in those days. But Ricky, can I start by asking, first of all, how you are?
I'm really well. I'm blessed. The family's well, everybody's well, so hey, we've got everything to be thankful for.
Well, that really is very good news. Now, can I start from the very beginning? I think you were just 3 years old, weren't you, when you came over to the UK?
That's it. My mum and dad, the whole family came over. I was 3 years old. We came and we settled in Bolton in Lancashire. So I have got memories of India, where I was born, and I have been back to India. And but England, we settled into Bolton in Lancashire, and I loved it over there. I've loved every minute of it. Still got good friends. I don't live there now. I live in Peterborough in Cambridgeshire.
And, of course, it was in Lancashire that you got your big break, Preston North End.
Joined Preston North End from school. It was, I always knew I'd play football. I didn't have anything else. There wasn't a plan B. There wasn't anything at all to say, you're not going to make it. I knew I was going to play football. I was excited. Like any youngster, I used to eat standing up so I could play football. I used to go to school very early in the morning, 7 o'clock. We didn't start till 9 o'clock, so I could play for 2 hours. Life was just football and nothing else. It was like breathing. It just had to be done. Mum and Dad never saw me. Dad would say, I want you in at 9 o'clock. Finish my dinner, go and play football. Want you in at 9 o'clock. I'd be back there 9 o'clock on the dot. I wouldn't mess with my dad. God bless him. So life was great. Well, and, just like it is now, life is great.
And you made a real impact at Deepdale. I think you scored the winner against Fulham, who were the leaders at the time, and that clinched promotion for Preston.
That was a long time ago, Dave, it was, and we played at Fulham, and what happened? It was in the third division. They were the leaders, we were the second in position. And we played Fulham, and Fulham had to win that game or even draw that game to get the championship. And they had the trophy there. They were going to get presented with the trophy. But as luck would have it, we won at Fulham 1-0, and I was lucky enough to score the goal. So, good memories. My sister lives in Fulham even now.
The O's were ambitious back in those days. 1972, George Petchy, of course, in charge at Brisbane Road. And I think it was September, you were substitute at Blackpool and you made your debut at home to Burnley. Barry Fairbrother scoring in a 1-1 draw.
Dave, I'm sorry to correct you.
Oh, so yeah, no, please do. Lots of people do, Ricky.
I'm sure that... I'm 72 now, so I forget things all the time. You're just a young boy. But I'm sure I made my debut against QPR.
Okay.
No, I didn't. Sorry. It was against Coventry in the Cup.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that, yes. Yeah, my apologies. That's definitely my fault.
It was... We played in the FA Cup at Brisbane Road against Coventry. Now, listen, I could be wrong because, as my wife tells me, I'm wrong quite a lot.
No. Dulcet Dave takes all the flack for being wrong. I often are, but this really is a tremendous honour and privilege because I remember really savouring the team that we had in those days, the likes of Alan Boyer, Brisley, and, of course, Derek Downing.
Good lads, real good lads, but good friends as well. Good friends, and we would get together whenever we could in football, but out of football, it was great. I loved it at all. I just loved everything about it. Everybody made me feel welcome. When I signed, I got on the train, and Paul Harris met me at the station and brought me over to the Orient. He had a Ford Capri then. I think it was a green Ford Capri, and he loved that car, so he brought me over to the Orient, and George Petchy shook my hand, and we went into the office, and he said, this is what you're getting, this is what you're doing, this is what you do, and we shook hands, and the interview was over in 5 minutes, just like that.
Now, that first... The first season, Ricky...
I loved it over there at the Orient. Orient was a great club, a great friendly club. Supporters were good. I was very happy. And I really didn't want to leave in the end. I really didn't. But circumstances happened and the club needed some money and bang, bang, bang. Off I went.
So that first season, I think, finished 15th. But the next season, 73-74, so near... Yet so far, with Aston Villa.
Very sad, very, very sad. Last game of the season, we should have played Aston Villa. I can't remember what date it was, David, but it was postponed, so it was pushed to the end of the season. We played them on the Friday night. We were ready. Everybody was excited. The chairman was having kittens. He was so excited. He'd come in on the Monday morning and he'd say to us in the dressing room, how much are we on for bonus going up? And we'd say X amount. He said, well, let's double it. So on the Tuesday, he'd come back in again. How much are we on? We're on this amount. Let's double it. So he kept doubling it, because he was desperate for success. And we were ready, but on the day, and it's very, very sad, we didn't play well at all. And too many of us, myself included, we just didn't perform as we should. We just froze on the day, and it's very, very sad. But that's what happens, is that great players and bring out the best on the big occasion. And we didn't, we just fell short. which was very sad, very sad.
Now, Ricky, I should explain for our younger listeners that this was Orient's chance of reaching promotion to the First Division. They call it the Premier League these days. And I think there's only a 9,000 capacity at Brisbane Road these days. And there were nearly 30,000 crammed. And I mean crammed. I was there with my dad in the West Terrace. We were struggling to breathe. We were so sort of massed. But it was a fantastic occasion after an amazing season. But it finished with a number of draws, didn't it, towards the end of the campaign. The players had really excelled throughout that season.
We did, but again, unfortunately, when we look back on it, it lost opportunities. It was an opportunity we had, and we should have grasped it with both hands. George Petchy was great. He gave us lovely team talks. He had a lot of passion in his talks. Everybody was ready, but we just didn't deliver, and it's a real sadness for me, and I know for all the other players, that we just didn't deliver, and we felt we let a lot of people down because the opportunity was ours. We were ready, and it was against Aston Villa, and they had nothing to play for, but they came out on fire. But no excuse whatsoever. We had the opportunity, and we didn't take it, which it was our own fault. What else can we say? We could make excuses, we can say whatever, but at the end of the day, we just didn't deliver on the day, and it's with sadness I say that.
But so close, and it was a remarkable campaign. Mickey Bullock scored 16, Barry Fairbrother with 14. It was a fantastic team, wasn't it, Ricky?
It was a super team. It was a good team, and we were all friends over there, and there were some good lads. It was a joy to play. George Petchy was a good manager. Brian Winston was a great chairman. Everything was right. And I think if we'd have gone up, we had enough quality in the team and enough youngsters in the team coming up that we could have stayed. And who knows what could happen. It's all ifs and buts. But it just wasn't meant to be.
Now, the next season, there was a young man called Laurie Cunningham that appeared. It was a poor start to the campaign, but you scored a winner in September against Aston Villa, I understand.
Yeah, I did. And what happened in that match, the match before, I think, or I don't know what it was, is that we played against West Bromwich Albion. Whether it was a friendly, whether it was a league match, it escaped me. But as I'm going up for a header, the West Brom player fell down on me and stamped on my foot. And I broke two, three toes on my foot. And I wanted to play against Aston Villa. So in the end, I had a size 8 on my left foot and a size 10 on my other foot to give it a little bit of room and bandages and everything. And funny enough, I scored the goal with the toes that were broken. So that was quite nice.
Now, as I understand it, you were called Tricky Ricky back in those days, and you quickly established a good relationship with Laurie Cunningham. Just how good was he?
Laurie was a great player. He had everything rolled into one. He had this beautiful turn of speed. He would fall down, he would bounce up again. He seemed to have everything. He was good in the air, and he was a brave lad. He was a nice, brave lad, but he was a free spirit, Laurie. He wanted 10 o'clock training didn't really necessarily mean 10 o'clock for Laurie. You know, that he didn't drink, he wasn't a drinker, but his timekeeping wasn't the best. So in the end, George Petchy said to me, Ricky, why didn't you take Laurie and let Laurie live with you for a little while? Because I was supposed to be the sensible one, okay? So I said, yeah. So Laurie came over and stayed with me, and I was living in Rayleigh in Southend. So Laurie came and stayed with me, and I was supposed to be the calming influence. And the one thing we did, we got in on time for training, so that was a success.
That sounds like a big achievement. Were you dancing? Because Laurie was a bit of a dancer, wasn't he, back in those days, Ricky?
Laurie was a great dancer. He just had all the moves. He was, even when he ran, he was he ran with elegance and his dancing. And he used to love the 1920s gear when he was with the hat and the double-breasted suits. And he looked the part. But he was also a very, very good dancer. And his girlfriend at the time was a dancer, so they were a good pair together. But Laurie seemed to have everything, and I met him. I met Laurie. I was playing for Peterborough, and we stopped in a hotel in West Brom for pre-match meals. And West Brom was there, and Laurie was playing for West Brom. And Laurie said to me that I was talking to him, and he said, I'm leaving at the end of the season. And I said, well, where are you going to? The big clubs, United and Arsenal, Liverpool. He said, no, they can't afford me. I said, really? Yeah, and 2 weeks later, he went to Real Madrid. And that was ideal for Laurie. But unfortunately, there was a lot of racism in Spain at the time. And, you know, so he didn't really have it all his own way. But he was a wonderful player, wonderful player.
Racism's been a real factor in football very recently, especially after what happened in the Euros, of course. Ricky, you were, I think, the second Indian player to play for the O's, and obviously they're the likes of Bobby Fischer, John Chijosi, and of course, we mentioned Laurie Cunningham. What was the racism like? What were the issues back in the 70s?
Well, David, a lot of people say to me, I was interviewed by a couple of magazines and a couple of national newspapers about racism. And I must have lived in a dream world at times, because when I was playing, it could be raining. And I would say to my dad would say to me after the match, didn't it rain? I said, did it really? I didn't notice. And even any chance or whatever, you're very focused on the game. You're very focused. Ryan, we got a little bit of chance here and there, but I was very lucky. I didn't get anything. I was the only player, or the only black player, black person at school in the whole of Cambridge. So when I was there, there was nobody else. And I never suffered any problems whatsoever. Maybe a little dig every now and then, but nothing really that I couldn't handle. Is that I used to fight my corner if there was any problems. You know, if people got out of hand, I'd have to give them a gentle slap. But I was very lucky. I was very, very lucky that I didn't really suffer a lot of abuse, racial abuse.
Well, that's good to hear. And, you know, it was a remarkable group of players at that point for the O's. And you were delivering some high-quality football on a terrible pitch, weren't you, Ricky?
The pitch was great. It was like the baseball ground at Derby. And matches weren't called off in those days. You would just get the roller out and you'd roll the pitch again, and it would be flat for at least 5 minutes while you started the game. And then all hell would break. It was like a farmer's field at times. But, hey, we played, and sometimes you think, how did we play? But we did.
It was like a sensory experience. I can remember when it was, you hardly had any grass at all by the time you got to October. Yeah. It would get very, very muddy, wouldn't it? And then, of course, when the sun came out, it was like playing on sort of rock-hard mud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The pitch wasn't the best. Yeah, a good groundsman. He was a big friend of Tom Wally. Him and Tom Wally used to sit at lunchtime and look at the Sporting Life and the racing pages, because they both liked to bet. So, he was groundsman. I'm sad to say I've forgotten his name now, but he was a racing man, and the pitch wasn't the best, but Orion unfortunately didn't have the money and the technology to spend any money in developing the pitch. We did go pre-season. They did take us to a nice place in Holland for pre-season, where we used to go to a sports camp and do pre-season training for two or three weeks. And that was all, always a joy. And a funny story was, David, is that it was a national sports arena, and they had football pitches and accommodation and tennis courts and swimming pools and everything. So we used to get up at 6 in the morning. We used to do cross-country. Then we'd have to queue up for breakfast and so on, so on, so on. So I'd have 10 minutes. Then we'd be out doing more of this and that, up running up the hills. And so it was 3 weeks of real training, like army training. And then one year, Barcelona came out, and they came in these beautiful coaches, and they looked the business even before they started training. Well, they used to get up at 10:30, 11 o'clock. They'd have their hair done. They'd have their manicure done. They would go into the restaurant. They would be served with their own chefs. They'd have everything done for them. And they would. We just used to look at them and think, wow. Well, they played Ajax in a friendly. And the next day, all the kit was washed completely and all hung out on the line. And I was with Derek Downing, who I was great friends with, and Ray Goddard, who I was great friends with. And we looked at them, and one said to the other, shall we? And we said, yes. So I'm ashamed to say we stole all their shirts.
Well, I don't know if you still got them. They would be a treasured item on eBay these days, that's for sure.
We stole, I think there was about 30 shirts.
Wow.
And we left the socks and the shorts and things like that. We just stole the shirts, and again, is that nobody ever sort of complained or whatever, but all the lads had one, and my dad had one. I gave one to my dad, because, and he used to do his gardening in it.
Are there any particular games from that time that really stand out for you, Ricky?
Far from that. It's not really. The build-up for the year when we so nearly got promotion, that was always a good season. I can't remember anything that stood out. Oh, yes, I can. We played Notts County. And it was a terrible wind, and there's a bit of a slope there as well. And so we were kicking downhill, plus we had the wind on our bikes. And we were 3-0 up in the first 10 minutes. And I never touched the ball once. And the first time I touched the ball, it was 3-1. But, so that was the only one. And I have a good friend who writes for the Telegraph, or used to do in the Times, called Dave McVeigh. He used to play for Notts County. And he said, I remember it well. He said, you never kicked it once and we were losing 3-0. And that's the truth. How about that?
Well, I mean, Notts County were a good team back in those days. Do you still keep in touch with the O's?
Yeah, as many as I can. And I go to the O's. I'm still very lucky. I get invited every now and then. And if an invite comes, I always go. I loved it. It was a great club, honestly. And I had some happy, happy memories. My mum and dad came to every single match. Whether it was a reserve game, whether it was a friendly. Mum and Dad lived in Bolton in Lancashire. So you can imagine, they used to come to the midweek matches. Dad would come in his little Ford Popular with Mum by the side. And they would travel for a midweek match, see the match, travel back, and they'd get back at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And Dad would still be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. They never missed one match. Never.
That's incredible dedication.
It is, incredible. Dad kept a programme, every single programme of the Orient, everything. If all of a sudden any little write-ups, and there'd be a big full page, and then right in the bottom of the corner, and it said, and Ricky Heplett was left-sided, he'd keep the whole paper. So we had boxes and boxes and boxes of everything. And in fact, I gave them away. I can't remember. There was an Orient supporter who was and I gave lots and lots away to, so, but they have kept everything, everything whatsoever.
What comes across, Ricky, and, you know, it really is a pleasure and a privilege for me, having watched you all those years ago. You always played with a smile on your face and you play with passion, and it's evident that it was something that you really enjoyed.
Well, I do love it. I'm very, very lucky that what happened is that when I was at school, David, as I said to you, is that I knew I was going to play football. I just knew nobody would be able to tell me different. So what happened is that I played football and I didn't really have an education because I was totally immersed into the football. And I left school with no qualifications whatsoever. Everything was good. And the funny story was, when I was, I've still got friends all over the place and in Manchester who we still go, my wife and I still go over and see. One day we went over and he said, I've got a nice surprise for you. We're going to see our old headmaster. And he only lives about 15 minutes away. So we went over and he was the headmaster, a nice fella called Mr. Rudd. And he was in his dicky bow and he nice. He always was very smart. And he opened the door and he said, Epaulette, he said, I always like you. Give me a kiss on the cheek. He said, but you was as thick as two short pipes. Right? That was a term of endearment.
Was it?
So anyway, we had a lovely afternoon together. But what's happened, David, is that now is that I've got a real passion for learning. I'm taking my A levels now. I've got a real passion for learning. For not, I don't want to change the world or anything. Or I get up at 7 o'clock with my wife. And I do from 7 o'clock till probably 12 o'clock, I do my reading, I do my meditation, I do my everything, all my homework, till 12 o'clock. So everybody leaves me alone till 12 o'clock. And then probably about 3 o'clock I'll do another hour or whatever. But now's the time is that it's just a long lost youth that I just love to learn now. It's just very, very important to me.
Well, you sound full of life and somebody that's got a real passion still for life. And Ricky, I know that you're very busy and I really do appreciate the time that you've spent with us on the Orient Hour. But can I take this opportunity personally, Ricky, to say thank you, because you were a special part of an incredibly gifted group of players for the O's. That team was really special. And
well, that's kind of you, David. He said, I was lucky that, you know, I was invited to join the Orient. I've always been lucky. If I'm going to London today to see, as I said to you, I meet my two sons in London on Tuesdays. We have a good drink, we have a good meal, and I catch the last train home. And I've always been lucky. If there's a last train to catch, I'll catch it. For some reason, if I'm late, the train will be late. So I've always been blessed.
Well, I don't want you to miss your train, Ricky. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure you're still in touch with the O's and we're looking for promotion and, of course, Kenny Jackett. The club's in good hands, isn't it, now?
Club's in great hands, and you've got a great. Well, I'm in the Orient supporters group, and you've got some great people in there. With people are very, very passionate about the Orient, and it's wonderful. It really is, and yeah, it was a happy time for me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us now. Thank you, Ricky. I'm wishing you every happiness and I hope to catch up with you when you're next in E10 at Brisbane Road.
Good man. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Ricky.
There we go. That's Dave Victor with Ricky Hepaulette, and a decent player he was too. And we did have the quiz just before then. And, of course, Julian Lillington won. I forgot to announce what he decided to do. We had a framed poster of the 1970 England World Cup squad. And Julian actually asked me yesterday that if, in the event that he won, he'd like to have it raffled or auctioned, and the money going to the JE3 charity. So we're going to stick it up on our Twitter and see if anybody wants to bid for that, and we'll take it from there. But thank you, Julian, and well done on your victory. And thanks, Trevor, and thank you, Martin Strong, for all the questions as well. And thank you, Jamie, for coming in tonight as well. That's the niceties. As a lot of you are aware, the club has suffered another loss this week when Louise Tienen's passed away, and at a tragically early age of 36. And obviously everybody's thoughts are with her partner David and her little children Riley and Peyton. And it's a painful experience, and one that everybody's hearts go out to the family. And I think a lot of tributes being paid to Louise, who was a very hard-working girl and just did her best to give her children as much of an experience as she could afford to do. And I think she was a big presence on social media, and I do think in hindsight now that the children will have at least a lot of memories to look back on through Facebook, etc., that they will never forget their mother and the experiences that she gave them. And I think it was summed up best by Josh Corson's wife, Lauren. She said, Louise was everything as a mother you can only aspire to be. She dedicated her life to those beautiful children, and my heart breaks for them. I think that sums up pretty much everybody's feelings this week. And all we can say is rest in peace to Louise, and good night to all of you.